But I don't think I said this. Happy Thanksgiving. I know we're a couple days, you know, afterwards, but and I know we had a wonderful time with Steph's family and then my family, and there may be some of you who still have Thanksgiving things that you are waiting to do, so I pray that those are a time of blessing for you. But I've been thinking, obviously, you know, we're in Thanksgiving season, so I've been thinking about this idea of Thanksgiving, but not just because of the holiday. It is just as much about the fact that we live in a world that just seems to be and increasingly inundated with just outrage and anger, and we're just constantly irritated. Every headline that you read might as well say, fear this, or you should be mad about this, or why aren't you more mad about this? And that's just, we're just constantly bombarded by that. Now, of course, there are times where it's fitting for us to be upset and even maybe even outraged when we see injustices and things that we know are not the way they're supposed to be. But I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about this constant negative environment that we seem to be in. And, I think the media has lost the art of a positive headline. We can't sell any news unless it's got some healthy dose of fear attached to it. And then on top of that, you know, we had Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we've got this commercial marketing machine that just wants to make you feel ungrateful if you don't get that thing that's on sale or have a certain experience. And what ends up happening is we just end up irritated by everything and everyone that doesn't live or think or look or act or drive, you know, like we think they should. And if ever there was a place or a group of people where the opposite should be true, where you would find a people who were full of thankfulness and joy and grace and mercy and love and patience, it would be the church, right? But unfortunately, one of the saddest things is that I think we've missed the mark on this just as much. We grumble just as much as the next person. We are as prone to just constant complaining as the rest of the world. And I'm not up on an ivory tower here throwing stones. I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I mean, be honest, how many pro-level grumblers do we have? I mean, some people complain like it's their job. Charles Spurgeon, and it's not a new issue. 150 years ago, Charles Spurgeon said this, "I don't think the church rejoices enough. We grumble enough, and we groan enough, but very few of us rejoice enough." And of course, it's older than 150 years. It goes way back. And one of the things that I am learning as I get older is that the type of people that I tend to enjoy being around the most, that I find most life-giving, are people who have one character trait in common. They are people of gratitude. They just exude thanksgiving and gratefulness. They're in their attitudes and their words and their actions, they just seem to be giving thanks constantly. And a lot of them are people that when you look at their situation, you think, oh my goodness, if anybody had the right to complain or grumble, it would be this person. They're people who have tapped into the secret of the passage that we're going to look at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's three verses, and in fact, three very short verses. When you look at it, it doesn't seem like it should be three verses. It seems like it's just one long verse. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually," and this is what we're going to focus on this morning, "give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I think it's time for us in the church to kind of rediscover the art of gratitude, the art of thanksgiving. And it's one of those things that should be a distinguishing mark of Christians. And the main idea I want to give you this morning, and I'm going to give you the punchline, and then we'll break it down, and then I'll tell the rest of it, is this. Thanksgiving is a command, for all contexts. That's part of our calling. It's a command with a context that's part of our calling. And the first thing that we see there in 1 Thessalonians 5 in those verses is that the command is to give thanks. Pretty straightforward. And one of the things that fascinates me about, you know, we joke about how Christmas, we go right from Halloween to Christmas. And sometimes you don't even get Halloween, you go from 4th of July to Christmas, it seems like anymore. But even with that, even in our increasingly secular or even a religious society, it's pretty amazing that the tradition of Thanksgiving has held up the way that it has. I mean, it's very consistent. People still gather together. It hasn't changed a whole lot. But the puzzling question in all of this is, if we're getting increasingly secular and a religious, is what are we thankful? What is it that we're thankful for, and who are we thanking for it? G.K. Chesterton once said, "The worst moment for an atheist is when he's really thankful and has no one to thank." Now, I know it's easy to stand up here and take a shot at an atheist for having inconsistencies in their gratitude, but, I mean, I think we have missed a little bit about what the Bible has to say to us about the importance of gratitude and thankfulness. If we as believers live lives that don't express gratitude, if we live thankless lives, then arguably our inconsistency is a bigger problem than the atheist who doesn't think they have anybody to thank. We know who we need to give thanks to, and we know what we should be thankful for. And God, thankfully, in His grace, knows that we have a tendency to be ungrateful, and so He's put it in His Word to command us and call us to live that way, to live with thanksgiving. And it's not just here in these few verses in 1 Thessalonians. You find it all over Scripture. Read the Psalms. And He's not subtle about it. There are variations of the word thank, and this is just the word thank. It's not all of the other kind of words that we think of when gratitude and things like that are used almost. They're used 150 plus times in Scripture. In 38 of those instances, we are specifically told to give thanks. The Greek word for thanks is the word eucharisteo. Now that word might ring a bell. Eucharist is where that's where that word comes from. It is literally the word that was used when Jesus gathered with His disciples and broke bread and gave thanks. When we share in the Lord's Supper, as we're going to do here in just a little bit, we are literally giving thanks in remembrance for what He has done for us. In Hebrew, there are at least seven words that we translate thanks or something similar. There's todah, not tada, which I think would be a fun one, which means a thanksgiving choir. Barak, to kneel in thanksgiving. Tehillah, not tequila. See, these are so fun. I love these words. They're fun. To sing a song of thanksgiving. Halal, which is if you think hallelujah, that's where that comes from. To give thanks by boasting and praising. Yara, to give thanks with expressive attitude. Zamar, to give thanks with a musical instrument, and Shabak, to give thanks in a loud tone. In one verse in the Psalms, four of these words show up. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with todah, as thanksgiving choir, and His courts with tehillah, singing praises. Yada, extend your hands to Him, Barak, kneeling in thanksgiving before His name." That's kind of the literal translation of those Hebrew words if we were to translate it that way. The idea that we have there is really that thanksgiving and gratitude should be so central to who we are as believers that it should cause us to sing, to shout, to lift our hands, to kneel in praise. Thanksgiving is the fuel that powers worship. Gratitude is what causes worship to come forth. You will never truly be a worshiper if you're not grateful. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't worship like this, if you don't fall on your face or raise your hands, that you don't love God and you're not worshiping. That's not the point of what this is. But the point is this, is that if you are truly thankful, at some point, that should flow out of your heart and affect your actions and your demeanor. You know, people ask how you're doing. Well, I'm doing fine. Well, tell your face. It's that idea. I'm worshiping God. Well, tell your face that you're excited about worshiping God. When we talk about this idea of giving thanks, it's important to know as well what that's connected to. That is inextricably linked to God. We sing praises to His name. We give thanks to the Lord. And the more that we learn about Him, the more that we do that, the more we experience Him, the more we should praise and worship and glorify Him. Thanksgiving is what generates that worship. This is where our, as believers, this is where our thanksgiving diverges from the world's. This is not the way Thanksgiving is set up in our culture. The way we practice Thanksgiving, and not just as a holiday, I think it's just as a practice, as a culture, is it's a glass half full kind of Thanksgiving, where we focus on the positive, we look for the silver lining, and that's not a bad thing to do, but that our Thanksgiving goes even beyond that. What prompts us is not just looking for the positive in all our situations, it's knowing who walks with us in every single one of those situations. C.S. Lewis talked about how being thankful is woven into a life of worshiping God. He said that our tendency is to give God thanks for what He has done for us, the blessings that He has bestowed on us, and we should absolutely do that. We should literally count our blessings. But when we really get down to it, it goes beyond that. It's not just about what God has given us or done for us. We should be thankful simply for who He is. Being thankful is one thing, Lewis says, but knowing who we're thanking leads us to a life of thanksgiving. And if you caught the name of the sermon today, I thought this was clever, thanksgiving. And you'll hear a lot, we talk a lot about having an attitude of gratitude. And that's good, but I think that worship and thanksgiving, it is maybe even more than it being an attitude. It's more about an action. It's an action that springs from an attitude. An attitude of gratitude is great, but only to the extent that it is followed by habits and practices of gratitude. Gratitude without practice is a bit like faith without works. It's not really alive. If someone claims to be thankful for Jesus in their lives, but they are constantly complaining about everything, and they are an irritable person, they seem ungrateful for everyone and everything, what would you conclude about that person? Or, even more sad, what would you conclude about the God that they claim to be thankful for? Well, He's not doing a whole lot of good for them. These are the people who God has loved in spite of. That's what we don't want to be. Do you have a grateful heart? That's a great question. But I think we have to ask the follow-up question, is that heart matched with habits? Tim Keller said, it's one thing to be grateful, it's another thing to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel, thanksgiving is what you do. So what does this look like in a practical way? Well, if you're married, it could start with your spouse. Do the things that made you thankful, you know, remember the things that made you thankful for them in the first place. And do things that you remember doing way back then. Write notes. Buy flowers if they like flowers or candy. Do something special for them. Send an encouraging email to a coworker. Send a note to someone in the church thanking them for the way they serve. Now, these are actions that we do for other people, but it's also a way of expressing thanks to God and really blessing that person because of how thankful we are to God for them. As part of your quiet time, write down one way that God has been faithful to you and then find out a practical way to express your thanks for that. Make it a part of your small talk with other people. What has made you grateful recently? Where have you seen God working in your life? We need to practice gratitude and thanksgiving. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just think it, say it. And you could extend that. It doesn't say it, but and do it. We always have a reason to give thanks. You know, in my prayer, God has never stopped being good. We've just stopped being grateful for it. We should never stop thanking him. So we have this command to give thanks. And second, we have a context. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I want to point something out that this says in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. It's a very important distinction. We are not called to be thankful for everything that we find ourselves in, but we are called to be thankful in them. And I think this is one of the lessons that's best learned and seen in older saints. They've been around long enough to know that the Christian life is just not a constant mountain peak. You walk with Jesus long enough, you will experience some things. And you will experience some things that you would never wish on another human being. But you're also grateful for them because through that, somehow, God has brought you closer to him. You've discovered him in ways that you would have never discovered him in any other way. This whole, we've talked about this, God working the good out of all of our circumstances. You learn to be thankful in the hard times, even though you're not thankful for the hard times. So God is not, he's not commanding us to be thankful for getting laid off from our job. He's not commanding us to be thankful for the empty seat at the holiday because we've experienced a loss. He's not calling us to be thankful for the betrayal that we've experienced. We're not commanded to be thankful for all circumstances. We are commanded to be thankful in all circumstances. And here's where I think connecting to other people in the body of Christ is so vital. Because even though I may not know the specific pain that you have experienced or maybe be going through, I can guarantee somebody else does. And somebody else has learned what it looks like to be grateful in that circumstance. They've been through some things. They've experienced some things. I want to remind you that you are shoulder to shoulder with other believers who have walked through loss. They've walked through financial hardship. They've walked through depression. And they have something that God has done in their lives that would be a great encouragement for you. But you have to be willing to connect. You have to be willing to join together with them. But even more important than that, if you hear nothing else I say today, is that it's not just those who walk with you. We've got a Savior that walks with us. Jesus is not unaware of what we experience. He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, to be slandered and lied about, hunted down and broken and hungry and abused. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one and weep. We do not serve a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Somebody wrote that in a very important book. He can sympathize with our weakness, with our wounds, with our weariness. And while we may pray and hope that he takes us out of those circumstances, the one thing that we can know for sure is that he is with us in your situation. Jesus is with you in your situation. He sympathizes with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And because of that, that's how we can still be thankful in those situations. Because his presence is always with us. I don't know what the last year has held for you. I don't have any idea what 2024 is going to hold. But I know this. God was there. God is going to be there. He walks ahead of us. He walks alongside us. He comes behind us. And he invites us to walk along with him. And the rougher the road gets, the tighter he holds our hand. It's incredible how that works. Whatever your context, you can still give thanks because the goodness of God, not just his goodness, he is there. I read a quote this week that stuck with me. Peace and joy are fruits of the Spirit, not my circumstances. I wish I could tell you who said that. I don't have any idea. That's exactly what Paul meant when he said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ. You know, we like to throw that out there for sports and job interviews and tests, but Paul was getting at something that's even deeper than this. Paul, and you have to understand, remember where Paul was writing this letter from. He was in prison writing about joy. Writing about the fact that he had learned to be content in every circumstance. He learned to be thankful, whether he was well-fed or hungry, enslaved, you know, whether he was in prison or free, or he just learned how to do that. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. So yeah, God might give you strength to hit a ball 500 feet, but I think this is even more important. So we're commanded to give thanks in all contexts, and we're commanded to do that because it's crucial to our calling. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's God's will for us to be thankful in all circumstances. We all want to know what God's will is for our lives, right? So what does that mean? Well, it means that part of his will is for us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is his will for you in Christ Jesus. And so, but we need to break this down to understand how we can apply this to our lives. And it's not just in this verse that this applies to, because we need to back up. I read the other two verses because this all connects as one statement. In verse 16, it says that God's will is for us to rejoice always and pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. It's God's will that we should rejoice, pray, and give thanks always. Second, we need to understand who this applies to. Let's do a little grammar work here. When it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that little phrase in Christ Jesus modifies what? For you. Meaning those in Christ Jesus. Those who call themselves Christians, this is God's will for you. We need to understand something. Being thankful is not always God's will for the world. And here's what I mean by that. The world can't be joyful. They can't express the gratitude that we can express because they don't know the source of joy and gratitude. It should not surprise us that the world is getting angrier and angrier and angrier. They keep looking for something that they're never going to find where they're looking for it. They don't know Jesus. They don't know his salvation. Being thankful is God's will for us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, would it be very helpful if those who didn't know him were thankful? You bet. But that's not our job. To make them thankful. It's our job to live lives of gratitude and thankfulness so that they can see what that looks like and we can point them to the source of our joy and gratitude. And you might be like, well, I'm not naturally a happy-go-lucky, super positive, optimistic person. It's just who I am. I want to be thankful, but how am I supposed to do that? Well, I've got good news. Because it's not just God's will for you to do it, it is God's will to work it in your life. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So if this command, us living out this command to rejoice always, pray continually, and be thankful in all situations is part of serving God's good purposes, which I believe that it is, that means if it's his will, he's going to give you what you need to live that out. God wills it, and he works it. If you are in Christ, you have everything that you need to be able to live a grateful life of thanksgiving. You have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in you. And what should characterize your life is gratitude and thanksgiving. It should be normal and as natural as breathing. Because the Spirit of God is willing and working that in our lives to be able to do that. Gratitude and thanksgiving is simply living out who we are, who God has created us, who He has made us, while as we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, I have to state the obvious here, and I don't want to overstate this, but maybe for some people the reason you're not grateful is because you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. I know that's a man. You've been playing the religion game. You've never actually personally stepped into a relationship with Jesus. Perhaps that ingratitude is the result of not actually being in Christ Jesus. Which means you're trying to live out a command and live out a calling that's impossible for you because there's no Spirit inside of you to work that out. You're trying to live the Christian life by your own power instead of the Holy Spirit. You're trying to do something that you don't have the ability to do. Without the Spirit inside of you, it just becomes another religious burden to carry. It's the epitome of seeing God as rules-based instead of relationship-based. Now, there are rules that govern that relationship. I don't want to, but it begins with the relationship. God sent Jesus to will and work in our lives. And if we have repented of our sins and we have acknowledged God for who He is and what He has done for us, He will first and foremost save us from our sin, and then He will and work in us to carry out the commands that He's giving us, including this one. For those of us who are in Christ, we never lack reason, occasion, or resource for thanksgiving. We have been given an eternal gift in Christ. We should be thankful for our salvation. We should be thankful that sin and death have been defeated. We should be thankful for the power of prayer, that we have the ear of the Creator of the universe. We should be thankful that God's mercies are new every single morning. I'm just giving you a list if you're looking for things to be thankful for. We should be thankful that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that He can be trusted. We should be thankful that He never stops being good, so we should never stop giving thanks. We praise Him, we worship Him, we give thanks to Him. St. Augustine said a Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. We were created for thanksgiving, to live in God's presence. Now, obviously, because of sin, we've fallen from that. But thank God we've been redeemed by Jesus. And now, because of what He has done, we have been freed once again for thanksgiving. We've been strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Don't you wish you could write like Paul? That's found in Colossians 1, if you were wondering. So we give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Amen.